This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Accidents happen, and when they do to your vehicle, you want the job done right. For that, you need two things, the right person and the right equipment. Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra has both. Body shop manager and Carlinville resident Jeremy Gons has certified technicians and the latest equipment like a frame straightening rack, sandblasting booth, a 100 alignment machine, and downdraft bake finish paint booth to give you a factory finish. They can paint your bumper, fix the deer hitch, or even do color spray in blenders. And they provide loaner cars. Accidents happen. Let Jerry and the crew at Smokey Jennings handle it for you. Getting the job done right since 1946.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, make sure you get a good deal on the financing, too. You can by asking for AgDirect at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, AgDirect offers ag-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to 12 months. AgDirect also features an easy application. It takes just minutes, and you can get a credit decision back in minutes, too. That means you can make the deal on the spot without having to call back or make a return visit. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, be sure to ask your dealer for AgDirect financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. So get a good deal on your equipment financing with AgDirect, available only at your ag equipment dealer. Check our competitive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for AgDirect.
First of all, in our farm news this morning, the DTN general opening call for later today. Expect corn to open 5 to 7 higher, beans 24 to 29 higher, wheat 7 to 9 higher. The overnight crude oil market 48 cents higher at 104.03, Brent crude 54 cents higher at 118.70. The June gold contract $3.50 lower at $1,640.30. The U.S. dollar index 0.089 lower at 79.090. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, May wheat closed at 624.5, down a half. July wheat closed at 632.5, unchanged. September wheat closed at 647.5, down 3/4. May corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 618.25, down 4.25. July corn closed at 608, down 4.5. September corn closed at 555.5, up 3/4. May soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 1461.25, up 24 cents. July beans closed at 1465, up 24 cents. August beans closed at 1450.5. Also up 24 cents. May soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 412.10, up 123. July meal closed at 415.70, up 123. August meal closed at 410.80, up 124. May soybean oil yesterday closed at 55.29, up 20. July oil closed at 55.69, up 20. August oil closed at 55.89, up 21. May oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 340.25, up 14.25. July oats closed at 342.5, up 15.75. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Tuesday, though soybeans closed sharply higher. Strength in soybean values came from strong gains in soybean meal and ideas of a tighter world supply. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 5 cents lower at 611 to 628, while soybeans advanced 24 to 26 cents at 1437 to 1452. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids dropped 5 to 6 cents, down to 618 to 640. But soybeans were up 24 cents at 1447 to 1469. And the wheat bids ended mixed on Tuesday, ranging from 609 to 628. In the St. Louis area, Country Elevators and Mills reported those corn bids down 3 to 4 cents, ranging from 618 to 628. Soybeans advanced 22 to 26 cents at 1450 to 1453. And wheat prices closed mostly steady, ranging from 619 up to 621. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 3 to 5 cents lower at 628 to 634. Soybeans gained 24 to 26 cents at 1466 to 1471. And new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery up 2 to 5 cents at 623 to 633. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids a nickel lower at 644 to 645. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 23 to 24 cents with quotations at 1484 to 1485. Soft red winter wheat ended steady on Tuesday, ranging from 647 to 648, while Milo ended 4 cents lower at 598 to 599. That is our Country Grain Report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, May hogs closed at 86.60, down 142. June hogs closed at 86.55, down $1.25. July hogs closed at 87.92, down 22. Cattle across the board limit down. April cattle 116.80, down $3. June cattle 111.57, down $3. August cattle 115.60, down $3. Not much better news in the feeder cattle pits. April feeders 148.40, down 102. May feeders closed at 147.85, limit down $3. August feeders closed at 151.22, limit down $3. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Tuesday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 3,800 head today. They're trading 36 cents lower from 76 to 80 with a weighted average of $79.19. And in Illinois today, there was 11,800 head of bears and gilts sold. The primal cutout value for a loin was up 21 cents today at $77.62. The Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar Report, sows traded steady, with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 43 to 47, 4 to 5 weights from 44 to 49, and over 500 pounds traded from $47 to $50. Illinois Direct bears and gilts traded steady again today from $53 to $56. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Tuesday, hogs are at 415,000 on the day. That's compared to 413,000 last week and 414,000 last year. Cattle are at 126,000 on the day. That's compared to 125,000 last week and 129,000 from the same time last year. The USDA estimated box beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 133 fabricated loads and 49 trim loads. Choice carcasses were up $1.37 at $189.94, while select carcasses advanced $2.22 at $1.87.21, leaving the choice select spread at $2.73. At the Shelbyville Livestock Auction opening report for Tuesday, they expect 400 head on offer. Compared to last week, all classes of slaughter steers and heifers are trading $1 to $2 lower, with slaughter steers choice yield grade 2s and 3s at $1.23 to $1.24.5. while selecting choice cattle are at $1.20 to $1.23.75. Choice Holstein steers are at $1.14 to $1.14.75, and slaughter heifers choice yield grade 2s and 3s at $1.23.25 to $1.24.25. Selecting choice heifers are at $1.20 to $1.22.50. At the Arthur Sale Barn weekly hay auction, they had alfalfa small squares good quality from 3.25 to $5.85 a bale, large squares 3x3s at $85. Fair quality small squares at $2.75 a bale, and alfalfa orchard grass mix premium quality at $7.75 a bale, and fair quality at $3.75. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey. Now back to the main studios of WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, April Class 3 milk closed at $15.76, up $3. May, 1501, up 22. For June, 1453, up 38. Also on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, April butter closed at 145.5 unchanged. For May, 140 down 1.5. For June, 143 down 3/4. Non-fat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for April, 124 unchanged. For May, 122.75 unchanged. And for June, 120.75 down 1. Spot prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, 140 down 1.25. For block cheese, 152.25 unchanged. For barrel cheese, 145.5 down 1.5. The bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated in Greenfield and Scottville are not available this morning. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area on this Wednesday morning. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
What is farming smart? It means choosing seed that fits your operation's goals. Select hybrids and varieties of FS High Soy brand soybeans that are part of a comprehensive cropping plan. That's FS Seed and FS Green Plan Solutions from M&M Service Company. That's farming smart. And farming smart always begins with FS Seed. Talk to M&M Service Company today to learn how FS High Soy brand soybeans and FS Green Plan Solutions can maximize every one of your acres. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Partly cloudy skies, warmer today, a slight chance of a shower, the high about 80 degrees, with south winds gusting to 25 miles per hour. Tonight becoming partly cloudy with a chance of a shower, low temperatures in the low 60s. Tomorrow Thursday, partly cloudy, the high in the low 70s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy and cooler, a chance of showers. Friday and Saturday, low temperatures in the low 40s, high temperatures in the low 60s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure steady, our temperature 51 degrees. And over the past 24 hours, WSMI Weather Watcher, the Lang family of Caulfield, a trace of precipitation. Once again, partly cloudy skies, 51 degrees on this Wednesday morning. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Choosing where to rehabilitate after an extended hospitalization or surgery is an important health care decision. We at Carlinville Area Hospital's Transitional Care Unit, formerly known as the Swing Bed Program, have an enthusiastic team of therapists that will help you or your loved one regain the strength and independence needed for returning to home. So choose transitional care at Carlinville Area Hospital for your rehabilitation needs. And call me, Tanya Kessinger, at 854-3839 for more information.
It's 20 minutes after 6 o'clock. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive in Hillsboro, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Hickory Grove Family Farms. First of all, in our farm news this morning, California's top agriculture official said the detection of BSE in a dairy cow shows the surveillance program in place to detect the disease is working. Referring to the USDA announcement of the detection of atypical bovine spongiform encephalopathy in a California dairy cow, California Department of Food and Agriculture Secretary Karen Ross emphasized that milk and beef remain safe to consume. The disease is not transmitted through milk, Ms. Ross said. Because of the strength of the food protection system, the cow did not enter the food or feed supply. There are numerous safeguards in place to prevent BSE from entering the food chain. The atypical BSE designation is important because this is a very rare form of BSE not generally associated with an animal consuming infected feed. CDFA veterinarians are working with the United States Department of Agriculture to investigate the case and to identify whether additional cows are at risk. The news came about lunchtime yesterday. Those rumors sent the cattle market into a tailspin. By 1:30 yesterday, live cattle were down the limit. By the close of trading and on confirmation of the BSE find, the April live cattle futures settled at 117.12 for a loss of $2.67 per hundred. Feeder cattle futures were also down. The cattle market has been on a strong course prior to the news. And the trade today should be interesting, but will depend greatly on export market reaction to that news. According to the United States Meat Export Federation, this latest finding will not have any impact on the United States Controlled Risk BSE classification through the World Organization for Animal Health, and should not affect access for U.S. beef products in international markets. The most important message is that U.S. beef is safe, according to Philip Tseng, U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO. They are already reaching out to their trade contacts around the world to reassure them that this finding is an indication that the system to safeguard the wholesomeness and safety of U.S. beef is working. The U.S. government is providing this same information through its channels to all our trading partners. On Tuesday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. We talked about the grain trade and the South American bean crop.
Well, I think we're seeing a little bit of buying overnight. There was a reported sale of U.S. corn this morning, 480,000 metric tons, which is just under 19 million bushels to an unknown destination. I would assume that's probably China. You know, this is something we've been talking about here for the last week or so. So I think the market is somewhat expecting this, but we have to keep in mind the market did sell off and we didn't get confirmation of this. So we might get a little bit more of a boost here, especially in the old crop corn. I think what traders are going to be curious about is what, if anything, comes behind this, though, as far as more sales to China on our corn. So they have expressed the interest in getting something purchased, but they've mentioned the price has to be right. What price that is, you know, is anyone's guess. But whether or not they come in here with a lot more behind this will be interesting. The beans continue to get buying. You know, we've heard a few estimates being reduced of South American bean crops. And the fact that, you know, the fundamentals of it just suggest it's still a very tight carryout, and the funds are very interested in this market still.
Now, they've also mentioned it seems like the crop in South America keeps going down all the time.
Yeah, and it's estimated that Brazil is about 93% harvested now. They also estimate that about 75% of their crop has been sold versus 60% last year. So you wonder, you know, through all this rally and everything, we've still experienced a lot of hedge pressure from South America. And, you know, the funds have eaten up a lot of that. So one private forecaster has suggested that that crop could be as much as 4 million metric tons lower than where the USDA has it estimated right now. Especially in Argentina, they're thinking that that crop could continue to wither because of the droughts they've had, the hot temperatures they've had during the growing season. So something that's still going to combat this, though, is the fact that the funds hold a record long position in meal and soybeans. And if there's a reason for them to get out, you know, the liquidation could come very quickly. But we still don't know, you know, if that's going to come or not. If these end users want to push this market through the highs, you can continue to see a lot of short covering and a lot of panic buying from the end user.
Does the quality of the South American crop match what we raise here?
You know, in a lot of cases, you know, the protein content is actually better out of South America. But it depends. I mean, sometimes the quality of the beans can be better from the U.S. as well. You know, it just depends on the growing season. But usually you're seeing beans down there with higher protein content. And that's very, you know, very positive, seen in a positive light to crushers, to soybean crushers, because they can yield a lot more, you know, and when they're selling soy meal for as expensive as it is right now, that's one of the markets that's really been leading the soybeans higher. They'll continue to be, you know, very attractive and continue to buy those beans. But, you know, again, with this fund length out here, you wonder how much of that has made this market versus what the fundamentals are of it.
And that was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. With the current budget deficit, all government spending is under the microscope or the chopping block. American Farm Bureau policy specialist Mary Kay Thatcher says that's why the new farm bill will look a lot different than farm bills of the past. The American Farm Bureau Federation's Jonna Miller reports.
Congress is working on the new farm bill. When it's done, it won't look like the farm bill most people are familiar with, though most people aren't familiar with this important legislation at all.
78% of the money in this farm bill will be for nutrition, primarily food stamp programs. And the other 22% will go to helping farmers in some way, either some kind of a price support program or conservation, crop insurance, those kinds of things.
American Farm Bureau Farm Policy Specialist Mary Kay Thatcher says that's partly due to budget constraints.
You're going to see a brand new direction. One of the biggest components of a safety net has been the direct payments in the past, and those are on their way out. Crop insurance is going to be the new, most important safety net tool.
Thatcher says there will also be more funding for what are called specialty crops, which include most fruits, vegetables, and nuts. But many wonder why farmers, no matter what they grow, should get government help at all.
We certainly have a lot of weather disasters and vagaries that we have to deal with in agriculture, more so than many other businesses. Now, that's not to say a landscaping business wouldn't have problems, et cetera. But we also have the fact that in agriculture, we compete in a global marketplace. We're competing on soybeans and corn, not against just the farmer next door or the guy in the next county, but people around the world. And if you look at the subsidies that we provide, we are still far less than average compared to the other developed countries in the world. For every dollar we spend in subsidies, the Europeans are out there subsidizing at $1.40, and the Japanese are almost at $3.
Jonna Miller, Washington.
In other farm news, these days it's hard to find a cornfield that isn't growing some type of BT corn, and some think that's leading to issues in pest management. Dr. Mike Gray is an entomologist at the University of Illinois. He admits BT corn is the standard in the industry, but questions its exclusive use in areas without significant pest pressure.
The use of BT hybrids is the standard production practice anymore. Quite frankly, when I look at the number of, you know, once very prominent insects like the European corn borer and even the Western corn rootworm last year, our surveys revealed pretty low numbers. You know, when I listen to producers, they indicate that, you know, Mike, it's harder and harder to find elite germplasm in some cases that's not BT-based, and so they feel somewhat, I think, restricted in terms of the choices that they can make.
Dr. Gray fears that unnecessary use of the technology could hasten the appearance of BT resistance among some insects. He notes that it wouldn't be the first time Mother Nature found a way to sidestep an agricultural pest management practice.
I think it's always worthwhile to remember that even cultural strategies like crop rotation, many of us will remember in the mid-90s when the Western corn rootworm variant evolved the ability to get around the benefits of crop rotation. So even when crop rotation was used for, you know, about two decades, Western corn rootworm adults figured a way around that particular management approach as well. So it's easy to understand how they could evolve resistance to an insecticide or evolve resistance at some point to a BT-based management approach as well.
Dr. Gray believes better targeting of BT varieties can help reduce the risk of long-term management problems.
If we can target our BT hybrids better and use them when we are most likely to find significant corn rootworm problems, that's probably a better strategy in the long run. I've even encouraged producers to think about, you know, rotating different types of BT hybrids based upon the different types of BT proteins that are expressed. Anything that you can do to keep the insects guessing and off guard a bit rather than relying upon the same management approach year after year.
Dr. Gray encourages producers to routinely reevaluate their pest management plans and not to become too complacent on one type of pest management strategy. Wrapping up the farm show this morning, once again, we'll run down the weekly crop report. We join Brad Schwab of the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Statewide temperatures averaged slightly above normal at 53.2 degrees. And rainfall accumulations came in at 76 one-hundredths of an inch, which was 18 one-hundredths below normal for the seven-day period ending April 22nd. There were just under 4 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies held steady at 3% very short, 25% short, 61% adequate, and 11% surplus. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was rated at 64% adequate or surplus. That was unchanged from last week. The wettest crop reporting district was the southeastern district, where topsoil moisture supplies were rated 64% adequate and 36% surplus. The crop reporting district leading the state in rainfall accumulation was the southwestern at 1.09 inches. Corn planting advanced by another 18 percentage points to a record 59% complete. This compared to 10% planted last year and 17% for the five-year average. Corn emergence now stands at 21%, and this compares to 1% last year and for the five-year averages. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn progress was the West Southwestern at 80% planted and 56% emerged. Soybean planting made minimal progress last week and now stands at 5% complete. However, this is still ahead of the five-year average of 1%. Oat seeding reached 97% complete compared to 70% last year and 65% for the five-year average. Heading of the soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 55%, well ahead of the 1% five-year average. 7% of the wheat heads were reported filled. Condition of the winter wheat crop was rated 1% poor, 15% fair, 56% good, and 28% excellent. Red clover, pastures, and alfalfa were all rated in mostly good condition. And the first cutting of alfalfa was just getting underway at 9% complete, compared to 1% last year and for the five-year averages. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Some reminders on this Wednesday morning, the Montgomery County chapter of Pheasants Forever, along with the University of Illinois Extension, is offering an art and digital image contest to youth enrolled in grades 7 through 12 in Montgomery County. The contest is designed to promote an awareness and appreciation for local wildlife and natural resources. Entries for the art and digital image contest should depict wildlife and habitat found in Montgomery County. A complete set of rules for the contest can be obtained from the Montgomery County Extension Office. Entries must be turned in to the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro no later than Friday at 4 o'clock for judging. For more information, phone the Extension Office at 532-3941. The Montgomery County Fair would like to announce that applications for the 2012 Miss Montgomery County Fair Queen are now open. Young ladies between the ages of 16 and 21 and reside in the county or attend a Montgomery County high school are eligible. A $1,500 educational scholarship plus other gifts will be offered to the new 2012 Miss Montgomery County Fair Queen. The Queen pageant will be held on Wednesday, June 20th, the opening night of the Montgomery County Fair. There is a $40 sponsor and entry fee. Also on stage that evening will be the participants of the future Miss Montgomery County Fair Queen. Young ladies between the ages of 5 and 6 are welcome. There is a $20 sponsor entry fee, and all girls will receive crowns and trophies. For more information or to obtain an application, contact Missy Dean at 229-3138, or you can email at missy.dean@hotmail.com. Some other farm news. The Senate has begun laying groundwork for a $500 billion food and farm bill that would end unconditional subsidies to farmers, but House Republicans resolved to cut its biggest component, food stamps, by $13 billion a year, dims its prospects of passing Congress. Health officials are warning folks to watch out for deer ticks, which are thriving because of the mild winter and early spring. Most of the pests, also known as black-legged ticks, normally die off during Illinois' cold winters. After 3 years, the American ethanol industry has finally satisfied all federal requirements for the commercial sale of E15, unleaded gasoline with 15% ethanol. With the partial E15 waiver granted by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Parents might receive a bill for sending their students to school by bus if an Illinois State Board of Education proposal becomes law. The Illinois State Board of Education is considering no longer requiring public school districts to transport students. As part of the proposal, reimbursements from the state to local districts would be determined by an average per student or per mile rate. Districts could charge parents a fee to make up the difference in what the state would provide and what the actual costs of transporting students. Once again, the DTN general opening call later this morning. Expect corn to open 5 to 7 higher, beans about a quarter higher, wheat 7 to 9 higher. The overnight crude oil market 48 cents higher at 104.03, Brent crude 54 cents higher at 118.70. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets, beginning with the opening commodities this morning at 9:32 on WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, by Hickory Grove Family Farms, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau.